welcome back to the Josue Ybarra podcast. Guys, it's always good to have you guys tuning in. I hope you guys enjoy our Monday message. Today, it's Wednesday, so for those who are new to the podcast, we do a segment called Wednesday's Word from the Wise. One of my favorites, just because I get to sit down and really glean and learn from wise people. You know, my uncle used to tell me this, that Josue, you know, you want to be a person with wisdom. You don't want to be a person with wisdom without the whiz. What is that? It's just dumb. So you need people in your life who can speak into your life. And so I'm very honored for our guest today. It's Raymond Patterson, a.k.a. Ray. But Ray Patterson is the business school coordinator here at Karis Bible College. He's also done business consulting for many years and just is a wealth of knowledge. And there's more, probably more background that he can share with us that he's been a part of. But he's a huge inspiration to the class. He's crushing it this year in business school. I hear so many great things about what's happening there. So very, very honored. Don't forget, we post every other week, or excuse me, Mondays and Wednesdays every week. And so if you guys are new, just tune in. If you guys are continuing and you like it, you know, just rate the podcast and write a review and share the love. And so anyways, Ray, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. I'm honored to be here, Josue. You know, you and I first met when I came to business school, and I immediately recognized the Holy Spirit in you and your care for the students and me as one of those. And it's just an honor to follow in your footsteps and build off of what you and others created.
Oh, thank you, Ray. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're excited. And, you know, one of my first interactions with Ray that I really, like, just highlighted to me that he's passionate about his vision. And I think it's appropriate to talk about some of this, especially since we're coming on to the new year. Yeah. But, Ray, talk to us, like, you know, one, why is it important to have a vision statement?
I chuckle when I think back on it, because I often tell people that I was born and raised on a small dairy farm, nothing special, no silver spoon, anything like that. Yeah. Went off to college, did ROTC, went in the military. I had a series of very great jobs that just built on each other. And the jobs always found me. I never really found them.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, like I said, several job experiences, all building one on another, and I knew it was going somewhere, but I didn't really know where.
Yeah.
And I was 43 years old when I got fired.
Hmm.
And that was a real turnaround.
Yeah.
And in fact, the way I looked at that was I didn't get fired for anything I did other than being me.
Right.
I worked directly for the CEO of the organization, and we had absolutely totally different leadership styles.
Mm.
He was very controlling information, controlling everything, wouldn't share where the organization was going, and I could just see the turmoil in the organization. And I was the complete opposite, and I was a direct report to him. Mm. I became a threat to him and his leadership style, so he fired me.
Mm.
And it was at that time in my life that I finally was in the right place, the right time to create a vision for where I wanted to be 10 years into the future.
Yeah.
And so in one day, I went through a process to create vision and then create action plan to begin to make that happen.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to wait until they're 43 or till they get fired.
Right.
But I've in that one day, I realized I could not say any longer, I don't know what I want to be or who I want to be when I grow up.
Come on.
And so the importance of that vision, it just propelled me forward.
Mm.
Up until that time, I was chasing money.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at what people were doing that were making the kind of money I wanted to make, and I decided I didn't want to be like them.
Yeah.
And so when I got a hold of the vision of who I actually was, who God created me to be, what God created me to do, and I built an action plan to make that happen, I went into business for myself, full-time consulting. That was 1996. And everything just, I mean, God just blessed me. Now, I didn't know the Lord as well then as I know him now, but I knew he was in charge.
Yeah.
And he blessed me. My business took off and I made more money than I ever thought I was going to make. But I did it in the joy of what God called me to do.
Yeah.
So that's where I think vision is tremendously important.
That's powerful, Ray. Do you feel like part of that vision or drawing out a vision, you said something really, really that stuck out, is knowing what God's called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's a part of that, or what comes first, you know?
Well, it is. I mean, in some ways, you have to have some experience to understand, am I called in this direction or that direction? But I really think you can figure out, you know, if you concentrate on what brings joy to your life, what brings energy to you, that's what God, I believe, put in you when he knitted you together in your mother's womb. He wants you to have joy.
Yeah.
And if you're working in the joy that he put in you, you know, and the things that bring you joy, then he, you know, it's like the scripture says he will give you the joys of your heart if you're focused on him and you're in his word.
Right.
Well, the way I've come to look at that is he doesn't have a choice because he put that in you when he knitted you together in your mother's womb,
right.
Right? So if you're working in that, you need help to screw it up.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, it's true. You know, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Actually, let me pause there real quick. Before I get there, we all know the verse, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? But if I were to put a survey out and say, what is the kingdom of God? We'll get 1,000 different answers,
sure.
Right? But I like how scripture defines scripture. Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So just like what you were saying, you came back to, you know, constantly, or experientially, what gives you joy and energy?
Mm-hmm.
That's a leading. That's the following after the kingdom of God. It's just those things of what brings you that joy and that peace. We have an instructor in business school, as you know, is one of my personal favorites, Colin Carr. You know, he talks about that, how he's guided, his decisions are guided by, you know, peace and joy. Where do I have joy? Where is there peace? Mm-hmm. And so in that discovery, guys, as you guys are finding out what you're called and who you're meant to be, you know, try different things out. We like to describe it as a triangle. You know, at the wide of the base, when you're starting out, you're going to try different things and realize, I'm strong here, I'm weak here. You know, I like that, I don't like that. And as you grow in experience and in faithfulness serving somewhere, you're going to find yourself finding your tipping point where it's like, I know what I want to be when I grow up.
Amen.
Like Ray said.
Amen.
It's powerful.
The thing I'd like to add to that is, you know, you talk about this triangle, and it's absolutely true. You know, we have times when we're doing good things, and we're doing what we like.
Yeah.
We're doing what brings joy to us. But it's, let me say it this way. God rarely, if ever, shows you the whole thing at once.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's being obedient to serving where you're called and finding joy now.
Yeah.
And realizing there's a benefit to that, not only to you, but to the kingdom. And then also recognize that that time is preparation time for what he has for you next.
Mm.
You know, if in 1996, the Lord had told me, Ray, you're going to be the director, the coordinator of the business school at Karis Bible College, I wouldn't have had a clue what he was talking about.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But what he led me through and built within me was a whole series of experiences that I can now bring to those students.
Yeah. No, it's powerful, Ray. And I actually want to unpack that some more, because I've talked with younger ministry leaders and people that I've worked with, and others that I've mentored before. And this is a common theme, even for me, something that I have to, you know, like David said, I have to speak to my soul. Mm-hmm. But there are things that in a young man's heart that they want to do and accomplish, and they want to do it now. Mm-hmm. You know, but what has kept you in the path of staying faithful where God has called you currently to get you to where you are now?
Yeah. Sometimes I don't feel like I've stayed in that path.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I feel like I've wandered here and there, and the Lord's called me back, you know, and that's, we all get off the path a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think every time I've gotten off the path, I've, as I think back on it, maybe not so much as you're going through it.
Right.
You realize that you're not getting the joy, you're not getting the energy, you know, and then also realizing sometimes when you're off the path, you're really off the path to pick up an experience, that you don't want to discount.
Right.
We learn from good experiences and bad experiences, you know.
Right.
So I
have this motto too, Ray, and I just want you to shed light to this too. Like, you know, we went to, you know, out with some friends and family, Ella and I. Which, by the way, guys, this is a cool fun fact. Ray actually lives around the area in Ohio that Ella's from, just really close to that area. So, man, it's really cool. I can sense the kindred spirit, the kindred spirit. But the saying of, like, regret, you know. And Elle and I were talking about, after we were having this conversation about regret, and I was like, and I was telling Elle, I was like, honestly, like, there have been decisions or things that I've done were dumb, like really dumb, things that have, you know, cost the price here or there. But I was telling Elle, I was like, man, I don't necessarily regret it though, you know, just because it's like, if I wouldn't have felt that pain, I'm going to borrow, you know, in Spanish means hard head. No, it doesn't really mean that, but we can be hard headed though.
Yeah.
And so, like, sometimes we need a nice knock to wake up and just say, hey, wait, that's a mistake, or that's wrong.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Ray, like, you know, you're older than me, not by a lot, all right? Ray's only 39. But, you know, you know, do you agree with that?
Well, the first thing is, I'm not 39. I'm almost 35.
Almost 35.
Twice.
We'll let you do the math. If that passed you, too bad.
But, you know, I was just thinking right before you said that. Way back in my early career, when I was active military, in fact, I heard a teaching by a guy named Massey, Dr. Massey. I don't recall his first name. But he had a body of work called You Are Where You Were When.
Hmm.
And you can do a web search on that. And the whole premise of this was that it's significant emotional events that shape our life. And his theory was that you had most of those significant emotional events by the time you were 8 or 9 years old.
Hmm.
Well, I was with him right up to that statement.
Yeah.
Because when I first heard him introduce this in my mental mind, I took a trip from that moment all the way back to my first memories.
Yeah.
And I realized that, yes, I had a lot of significant emotional events as a young kid, but I had a lot of events that happened to me that were significant, that were emotional after that, after the age of 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And then as I thought about that, I thought, well, we have these events that happen. Some are good, some are bad. Significant emotional events don't all have to be bad. They can be very good. Even the bad ones, we have a choice of how we think about those and how we process those.
Yeah.
You know? So, as one example, in December 1971, I put a brand new pickup truck into the side of a semi.
Mm.
That pickup truck was 6 weeks old.
Ooh.
And I put it right into the tandem trailer wheels that were moved as far forward as possible. Mm-hmm. And I walked away from that. Now, I knew my parents were not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And I knew that they were going to know it was my fault when they came to the accident scene, which they did. And they never said an angry word to me. They mm-hmm. knew it was my fault. But they were just so glad I was standing up.
Right.
And so was I. That event, the way I processed that, it showed me a mother and father's love, even, you know, because I ran a stop sign. But my point is, as we look at these events that shape our lives, right, the way that we come to the Lord and really ask Him to help us process those, is something that I think is also a piece of the life's puzzle.
Right. No, I love that, Ray, and I love that you're adding to that, because it's so true. Like, we have a choice of whether we're going to regret or whether we're going to process it a different way and look at it in a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's important, especially as we are on that journey to find out who we are. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to shape us. It's going to build us. I mean, read the story of David. Read the story of mm-hmm. Joseph. Re-listen to what Ray just said in his story there. It's a choice. And in those choices, Ray, because all of that, we're lining back to just finding a vision and creating a vision for ourselves. You talked about some practical things that I think the audience would really be blessed by. This is one: when you find that vision or what you're going for, let's start here. How would you write that out, and how would you build that?
Well, that's the
and by the way, guys, this is more, I mean, this can be for you who may be running a business. I know I have a couple other podcasters who listen on here. Shout out to you guys. But this is going to be some good information to grasp, but not even just for that, but even for yourself personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way, to me, it's a process, and what I experienced is absolutely a process. First off, in the vision part, whether it's for, and let's just talk personal vision and getting a personal life vision. The way I approach it, the way I encourage clients to approach it, is to put themselves 5 to 10 years into the future. And for anybody under 50 or 60 years of age, I would encourage you to go 10 years out. Mm. And just literally kind of do a self-guided meditation, if you will. Put yourself on the top of a mountain 10 years into the future and close your eyes and begin to think about, what do you see? What do you want to see in your life? What do you want? What are you doing professionally? What are you doing personally? Who's with you? You know, what are the characteristics of your spouse or your friends? What type of work are you doing? What's your house look like? What community are you in? What's the impact, and what positive impact are you having with your community, with your faith community? And just jot down snippets of what you see 10 years hence, what you want to see. And what I contend and believe is, when you really just kind of let your mind go with that, you're really tapping into the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit has put in you for your future. And just jot down snippets. Don't even worry about them being full sentences. And just free your mind to go anywhere it goes, like I said, with your community and all of this. And then as you get a page or so of those snippets, and try and get into as much detail, maybe not the exact town you're living in, but the area you'd like to live in, maybe not the exact house you want, but what kind of characteristics in that house. Take those snippets and then begin to build sentences and look at how they connect to each other. And as sentences form, you know, jot those down. And then begin to take those sentences and say, well, this sentence goes with that one, this one goes with this, and this one's about professional life, this is about personal life, this is about my home life, this is about my community life. And bring those sentences together to begin to form paragraphs. And then as you read through that, you look at what those paragraphs are telling you. right? And, oh, well, this paragraph really should be on the top, and this one should be next. And, you know, the summary paragraph ends up at the top, and on then detail builds below that. And the vision, don't force it. Don't say, well, I only have an hour or 2 hours to do this. Lay it down, come back to it, meditate on it, come back to it. That gets vision. And it's important to get the vision before you get sidetracked with the details of how you're going to get it. Now, different personality types are going to process this a little differently. Some people may need to start from the details and then see what emerges. Yeah. So there's no right or wrong. But it's really important to have the vision of where you want to go.
Yeah.
You know, without vision, people perish.
Right, right.
Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain, so that he who readeth it can run with it. Right. We're not to do this alone.
Right.
And then he goes on to say it's for an appointed time. What that tells me is it's not for today. Hmm. That's why we reach 10 years out into the future to see what our promised land looks like.
No, that's beautiful, Ray. And I think it's very practical, too. I love that, and I encourage you guys to take that challenge. And most of this audience is under 50, so guys, that's 10 years, all right? let me throw this out too, because you mentioned this at the beginning, is you created a vision for yourself, and then you started to get into the action plan.
Amen.
So can we talk about that? How do you then, from the 10-year, kind of take that step backwards and create an action plan with that?
Yeah, thank you.
And maybe if you could share an example too, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, well, I can, because, like I said, when I was 43, I did this. It was 1996. I built a vision for 2006. And I'll just say at the beginning, my vision, the essence of my vision is I'm a builder of organizations, a builder of people. And that's what I love to do. I love to help people see that they can actually accomplish the impossible, or what was once thought impossible. So you get the vision, then it's like, okay, if that's where I want to be 10 years from now, what are all the things I can conceivably think of that I need to be doing right now and now for the next, from now to the next 12 to 18 months? Hmm. So I've got my vision, I've got that printed out, I've got it sitting in front of me, and then I start capturing line by line, one action item at a time. I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to call this person, I need to get in touch with these people, I need to understand more about this aspect of what I want to do that I don't already know. Conventional brainstorming, single action per line. So if you catch yourself saying, well, I need to do this and that, make that two separate items.
I see.
And you want to get a couple, three, four pages, you know, maybe 50, 100 different action items. Don't worry about it. Get it in as fine a detail as possible.
Yeah.
And then you begin to group those action items in terms of the outcome they produce. So if I do number one and number three and number seven and number 76, they all kind of come together to help me get my hand around what I'm doing professionally. And number two and 28 and 46 is more around things I want to think about, or preparation that I need to begin to move there, stuff that I need to invest in, or maybe that, maybe that's what I need to do for thinking about my house, whatever. And you get these groups based on outcome. Then you begin to look at them and sort out what is my top priority. Or a better way to say it is, what is the thing that's holding me back the most right now? Because that's what I need to get out of the way so that I can begin to move forward. So let me give you a concrete example. I built my vision, did my action planning, got my action items grouped, and then looked at priority. And my number one priority was a group of activities that I titled Clean Up My Stage. because I was going into my own consulting business, which I hadn't done before. And I had a home office. And in that home office, I had piled everything from my history that I had. I'm a pack rat, right? So I had stuff from my active military days. I had stuff from my civil service days. I had stuff from when I worked in South Carolina. I had stuff from when I worked in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I had it all in this room, and it was a mess. Mm. And what I realized was I was spinning in circles. I knew I should be trying to build my business, but I couldn't build my business because my office was a mess. Mm. But I couldn't clean up my office because I thought I was supposed to be building my business. Mm. You see? And so what I did was sit there and play solitaire for a couple of days. Right? And then when I went through this process and I figured out, for 3 days, I don't have to build my business. Mm. I just need to take 3 days, give myself permission for 3 days to clean up the clutter. Mm. And I got busy at that. It just was a relief. I threw out stuff, got rid of stuff, organized stuff, and then got my desk cleaned off.
Wow.
And then I could move to my second group of things, which was reconnect with people that could help me get where I wanted to go. Huh. And my business took off.
Man, Ray, that's powerful.
So it sometimes it's as simple and... You know, I'm going to say it. It feels like it was so obvious.
Yeah.
But yet it wasn't obvious because I couldn't see it until I got those action items grouped. And then I could begin to knock them off one at a time or group at a time. No, so that, and then as you do those things, be aware of what you're learning. Mm. And how do you incorporate that learning back into your action steps?
Yeah.
Some things I thought were going to be hard turned out to be very easy. Some things I thought were going to be easy, I needed to do more research on.
Yeah.
So it's really working that living plan, but always with the vision in focus. Yeah.
Are you a big advocate for journaling?
Just because
capturing those things.
Yeah, I can't say that I am because I don't do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't. But I am an advocate. For me, and this we all have to figure out how we work best.
Right.
For me, I have to put it on the calendar. Mm. So I have to look forward to it. I think of journaling as capturing things after the fact. Now, you can use journaling, and I never thought of this till right this moment.
Yeah.
You can use journaling to help you with your future steps.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever works for you. If you're a calendar-driven person, use the calendar. Set some milestones and don't beat yourself up if they have to slip, because what's the very first thing that happens when you start to implement something? Man. The very first thing, without fail, every time, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. It's progress, some kind of progress, slop of progress.
I call it Ray's 10-second rule. As soon as I begin to implement something, I learn something I didn't know 10 seconds ago.
Nice.
And so how do I incorporate that learning as I'm executing all the time? So we've got to keep that in mind. We can have a good plan and we can execute that plan, but if we learn something we didn't know when we built that plan, we better incorporate that or we're going to fall off the cliff. Right. Because we didn't take a left turn when we should have.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's powerful. I love that. Just the simplicity of seeing the big picture of where you want to be. And I encourage you guys not to skip that step. I think that's a very vital step. Elle and I, you know, I always tell people when we went for a honeymoon, we had a honeymoon. Mm-hmm. But we had conversations every night kind of lined out of what we were going to talk about and what we were going to focus on. And really just kind of the big picture things. And so what we want to see within our life and in this year and the years going forward. And that's helped us with a lot of, you know, we got this from Billy, but that focus, rhythm, momentum, we were able to land out what are the five focuses that we have for, you know, ongoing years and how we bring it down to today and creating rhythms out of those things now, boundaries, routines, habits. I love, I forgot what author says it, but it's like, you don't decide your future, you decide your habits, and your habits decide your future. And I love that practice into just getting into those action items and finding what are those things that you need to get done. And I'm convicted, guys, because in the corner, and Ray sees it, he knows it, in the corner of my podcast studio, it is a clutter. So I'm going to get to it. No. I better put that on my list. Yeah. But no, this is really good, Ray, and I really enjoy this, and this conversation has been rich. Something I always ask my guests as we're wrapping up is, what 3-minute challenge you can give us. Now, if you guys are listening in and you're new, I got to explain this. So again, we're a podcast that's dedicated to your personal growth. And so with that, the first step of growth or growing is knowledge. You know, it's, and man, I ought to bring you back for another conversation, ready to talk about the things that you know, the things that you think you know, the things that you don't know that you don't know. Anyways, it's a powerful thing. I'll have Ray back again. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Johari's window.
Yes. Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes, guys. It'll be interesting to look at. But we'll have him back on. We'll talk about it. But basically, the first step of growth is knowledge. So you have to learn it, but the second most vital step, and it actually, negates the first step if you do the first step all the time, but it's implementation. Mm-hmm. It's putting into practice. Mm-hmm. So, Ray, and that's why we do this 3-minute challenge, is because before you listen to another podcast episode or before you listen to the music or whatever else you got going on, just take, it's only 3 minutes, guys. Just take these next 3 minutes to take on Ray's challenge.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, the thing that I would say in the 3-minute challenge is, first, you need to work the vision. It's tough to get a vision necessarily in 3 minutes, but I would say begin the journey understanding that process of creating the vision. If you have the vision, the next 3-minute challenge is to start jotting down what it is you need to do to begin to get there. And then get that just jotted down. But, tying these two things together, like I said, my 10-second rule is, as soon as you begin implementing, you learn something you didn't know 10 seconds ago. So be open to adjusting. It's like the airplane that flies any distance at all. 80-90% of the time, it's off course. Mm-hmm. It's headed in the wrong direction because the wind or the heading or just whatever factors are there, and it's constantly adjusting. So practice that ability to set a direction, begin to move there, but always incorporate what you're learning back into where you want to go. And that's where that long-range vision becomes important. And sometimes you can learn things that cause you to want to adjust that you didn't know when you created it. Take that to the Lord and see how that's moving. But just capturing where you want to go and jotting down the next step actions and then beginning to get there.
I love that, Ray. That's very, very, very helpful, even for me. I know that's something that Elle and I are going to look back and talk about, too. And I know those who are listening. So, guys, again, take these next 3 minutes to apply what just Ray just said. And, man, if you guys are encouraged by this, give us a shout-out. Write a review. Rate the podcast. This really helps get the message out there. But I'm going to leave these next 3 minutes for you guys. Thank you, Ray. Any last note that you want to say?
There is one thing. If I have written about a 3.5-page guide on creating personal vision.
Yeah.
If your listeners get in touch with you, I'll make that available to them.
That's powerful.
That's just a gift.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you. So if you guys want that, just go ahead and DM me guide. DM me guide on Instagram at Josue Ibarra Podcast. If you don't have Instagram, you can email me at hello@josueibarra.net and just email me guide, and we'll get that guide to you guys. Okay. Man, Ray, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I look forward to another time.
Yes, sir. All right. You guys have a blessed rest of your day. Peace.